The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt on the road. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, what's all about you? We're in Los Angeles for ASU, USC, but more importantly, tonight, number one U of A taking on UCLA. It's great to be on the road. And over the next hour, Chris Cartman's going to join us here in a couple of minutes, ASUDevils.com. ASU, Arizona State, hiring their new athletic director. Who is Ray Anderson? How did this come about? In about 15 minutes, Brett Hundley, UCLA quarterback, Chandler High School star, stays in college. Another conversation. Brett Hundley comes on the show quite a bit. We'll visit with Brett. And then Matt Muehlbach will join us in about 45 minutes, Pac-12 Network and U of A analyst again, the number one U of A Wildcats in action here tonight in Pauley Pavilion against UCLA. They don't care out here. They don't. I'm hearing that tonight's game is going to be a sellout, but they've been averaging about 6,000 a game at UCLA, which is an absolute embarrassment when you consider the magnitude of the program. And there's some other things going on out here. They're more excited about Jordan Sparks and Kiss performing over at Dodger Stadium for the outdoor game. But the game is supposed to be sold out tonight. It's a huge game for Steve Alford from a credibility standpoint. UCLA's gotten whacked around on a couple of occasions. And we'll get much more into that game again with Matt Muehlbach. Eric Sorensen back in Phoenix. Our Facebook question of the day today is...
Well, Brad, as you mentioned, Arizona State does have a new vice president of athletics. He is Ray Anderson. Chris Cartman from ASUDevils.com, who you will be speaking with momentarily, broke the story last night. Today, we ask you a very simple Facebook question. Do you like or dislike the move moving forward for Arizona State athletics? Head over to Facebook.com/Sports360AZ, like our page, share your input, and big day for ASU today, obviously.
Yeah, they have a press conference coming up. Ray Anderson, highly regarded in the NFL offices. I don't know if he can fundraise. That's what he needs to do. The person that broke the story is Chris Cartman, ASUDevils.com. He's also a contributor here on the show, Sports360AZ. We share content back and forth. He had this story last night. Were you surprised when his name was the one that was given to you by your source?
I was very surprised, Brad. This really was an outside-the-box hire. Michael Crow, as everybody knows, is the type of guy who likes to make those sorts of hires. I anticipated that it might not be someone who was a sitting athletic director, but I didn't think that it would be someone who had no background whatsoever in athletics administration. And I don't think that was something that really could have been anticipated. They were very, very close to the vest throughout the process. I knew kind of at different times how many candidates were still in play or that they were interviewing people, but never really the name until the day that we were able to report it. So, yes, it did take me by surprise. And I also didn't think that ASU would be able to get a guy like this, to be perfectly honest, just given where he was at in his career trajectory. His accomplishments, where he has sort of ascended to on a professional level, it almost looked in a lot of respects like a step backwards. But like you know, Brad, it just comes down to what you want to do with your career, and this is where he wanted to go.
Yeah, Ray Anderson, the new athletic director. Chris Cartman had the story first on ASUDevils.com. He joins us for a couple of minutes. Brad Sesmatt with you, Sports360AZ on the road in Los Angeles tonight, number one U of A against UCLA and ASU out here as well against USC. Look, Chris, he can go find coaches. Finding coaches, hiring and firing coaches in this day and age, to me, really isn't that big of a deal. All that this move to me says is Michael Crow has a belief system in him that Ray Anderson can go find money to build a stadium and also the new athletic district that's coming into place, and that there's nothing more really to this job than that.
I don't necessarily agree with that completely. I think given where we're at in the landscape of college athletics right now, the decisions that you make with regard to hiring and firing of coaches, how much money you allocate towards staffing, that can fully bloat an athletic department budget if you make the wrong choices. And what we've seen so much in recent years is people in the position to do so have contracted with search firms to make these sorts of hires,
right,
because they're either incapable of doing it themselves or they don't want it on their hands in some respect, even though they're going to be judged ultimately for it. But I think really what drives the success of a program is how well you do in your revenue sports. And so how well you do in your revenue sports determines how well you fundraise to a large degree. Those things are synced. So you're not going to raise a lot of money at ASU if you have a 6-7 win football team all the time. We've already seen that. That's been well demonstrated. And yes, ASU had a lot of problems in its athletic department, the managerial approach, and people who were in charge for a long span were not good in those areas. And I'm talking about Lisa Love specifically. But I think that you need to have a good football staff. We're seeing an arms race right now in college athletics where the best coaches are getting paid dramatically, dramatically more money than the run-of-the-mill coach. And there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. It's because that, coupled with the facilities improvement and money that you spend on facilities, those things drive everything else, the whole engine, to your athletic department. And so you need a person, ideally, who has an understanding in the football-specific niche, because that's what drives it. And that's the reason why, at this time, Anderson is a very good hire for ASU. Yes, he doesn't have a lot of the other things, but those things were cleaned up prior to his arrival. We've already seen ASU clean up compliance with Steve West, right? We've already seen ASU clean up its APR number under Lisa Love and get its academic house in order. Those things are settled. So now, yes, it comes down to fundraising and making good, sound decisions with your revenue source.
Well, and I'll finish with this. Michael Crow has, behind the scenes, I think Michael Crow was the one that chose the next football coach. He could have had input, as he did in getting Todd Graham, but this is really a Michael Crow, hey, Ray, here's what you're going to do. And when there are some big decisions, Michael Crow likes to put his foot in the middle of this. I'm not saying he's got a puppet, but what I am saying is I think when it comes to getting your football coach and your staff and the resources and all that, Crow is right in the middle of this, Chris, don't you think? I mean, that's how I've always perceived Michael Crow whenever I've talked to him. If Ray Anderson decides, I've got to make a change with Herb Sendick if they don't win this year, Michael Crow's going to be right in the middle of that. That's just the way it is with Michael.
Well, I think there's no doubt that Michael Crow has a big personality, and he does think a lot of his own opinion. So there's no doubt that he's going to be directly involved in that process. But I think if he has a person like Ray Anderson who has the cachet and background and experience that's very football specific, he's going to listen to that type of a person a lot more than he would listen to a guy like Steve Patterson or Lisa Love, who really has no background in those areas. And what happened with Todd Graham was a little bit different just because of how chaotic and disjointed the process was finding a replacement, and how ASU really didn't have somebody who was capable of doing that, coupled with some of the problems that it had with the search firm. But I take your point, and it is a good one, and there's no question that Crow's going to be very involved. But I think a person like Anderson is much more apt to be able to be persuasive in that conversation.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time, as always. Chris Cartman, nice job. ASUDevils.com. He had the story first. Let's get you caught up some of the other things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. The winter games are coming up January 25th and 26th. Sled dog races at the Sunrise Ski Resort on the 26th. Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon. Final sled dog races on Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon. Kid races after the finals. Winterfest at Honda starts at 12 o'clock on that Saturday. They have the People Choice Awards, Chili and Salsa Cook-Off, the White Mountain Dog Show, a dog weight pull competition, live music by Apache Spirit, food vendors, much, much more. This is a great event. Bottom line, it's a great event. You can go to the Honda Resort and Casino, and you can pull down the slots. You can eat some great food. You can stay there and have some fun. You can do all that, but also take in the winter games. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino, the Honda Resort and Casino in the White Mountains. Brett Hundley, UCLA quarterback, in a couple of minutes. A few other things before we get to the break. So there's pressure on ASU tonight against USC, in my opinion. ASU's 1-6 at the Galen Center. USC has a new coach in Andy Enfield. The football schedules for ASU and U of A are out. I'm going to go through those in about 15 minutes. How about the Alabama job? Now their offensive coordinator left, and the Cardinals, Freddie Kitchens, is right in the middle, right in the middle of that conversation, that Freddie Kitchens could leave the Arizona Cardinals as OC and go to, or quarterback coach, and go to Alabama to be the OC. But Lane Kiffin's name is there. Rick Neuheisel's name is in the middle of that, too. So how about Lane Kiffin coaching alongside of Nick Saban? How wild is the college scene? Last night, Suns. How about the Suns? At some point, you've got to just say, okay, this is what's going on this season. Late in the game, Gerald Green on the baseline for the Suns trying to get the victory.
Rockets lost the handle. Out to Morris. 5 seconds to go. Green got it! Splashdown! And the Suns take the lead.
Here is Gerald Green after the game winner, the Suns with the victory, Gerald Green hitting the big shot.
I seen Gorn give it to Keith, and Keith kind of had it. I didn't know if Keith was kind of bobbling it, or I know he's going to go to work. We're going to live with that because he's a exceptional scorer as well. Keith got the handoff, and I just knew it was just catching and rise up and shooting. Ball went in.
It's Gerald Green there. We'll get to more on the other side. We'll hear from Jahi Carson, Herb Sendek, Sean Miller on tonight's game. Also, Jeff Hornacek. Lots of stuff going on in the Arizona sports scene today. Up next, here, UCLA quarterback Brett Hundley, Chandler High star in the state of Arizona. Why did he decide to come back here to UCLA? And much more. Brett Hundley scheduled to join us live next. I'm Brad Sussmat. On the Road, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Sports360AZ.com, White Mountain Radio, and you can follow me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. It's a good Thursday tonight. UCLA here against number one U of A. Brad Sussmat from Los Angeles, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. On the Road and the Arizona Ford dealers appreciate their support as we continue to take the show on the road. Next month we'll be at the Scouting Combine, the NFL Combine. We'll be at March Madness. And that's what we do. We take the show on the road to the big events around Arizona and covering Arizona teams. Speaking of big events, UCLA quarterback Brett Hundley joins us now for a couple of minutes. Former Chandler High School star announced earlier that he is going back to school, or going to stay in school, I should say, not going back to school. He's going to stay in school for another season. He has a class. You have a class in like 10 minutes, right?
I do. I'm actually walking right now.
The class that you're going to is what class?
Sociology. Sociology.
How are you doing in your sociology class right now?
I'm doing good. It's a little difficult to balance out, when you have athletics and stuff like that you have to balance out, but it's going good. You just have to manage your time wisely.
Yeah, now last year you came on with me with your class schedule, and you were taking some really hard classes. I'm thinking, why would he be doing that? What does your class schedule this semester look like?
Thank God it's a lot lighter. It's only actually on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so it's pretty good this quarter. I'm liking it.
Yeah. Are you doing any online stuff, Brett? Are you doing online stuff, or are you going to class, physically going to class?
You know, I actually am taking one online class, Spanish, but I guess it's not too difficult. But I am taking a full load here at UCLA, going to class, and then I'll be taking one online class as well.
Well, I like that. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And going to class was one of the reasons, finishing your degree was one of the reasons why you wanted to come back, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a big thing. Surely to come here to a great school like UCLA and to leave with your degree is something I really want to do, and some reason I came here to this school in the first place. So it's a big positive in coming back another year.
Brad Hundley with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. All right, I think I can bust your chops on this from back in the high school days to now hearing you in college. Are you having teachers treat you differently, and do you have to stop them in their tracks?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny
That's
when
a
teacher will say your name and recognize you, but I don't want to say they treat me different. Obviously, they sort of recognize who you are, but, you know, I do my work. I try to turn in everything on time. I try to do just like every other student. So I can't say I get treated differently.
Have they asked you for your autograph?
Huh?
Have they asked
that's
you for
a,
your autograph?
That's a diplomatic answer.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
No. I turn in my work. I do everything. I mean, UCLA is a great school. And just like athletes, we do everything. I mean, obviously we have athletics we have to do as well. But one thing we do take pride in is, you know, doing our homework and doing everything we have to.
You going to be at the game tonight?
Yes, I will.
Yeah? You sit up in the student section, or are you? Am I going to see you down below?
Actually, I'm going to be up in with the student sections. I think I'm going to start off a couple chants, so you'll see me at the game.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of chants, okay, tell me about this Hundley for Heisman campaign, and when they first presented this to you, what did you think?
I really just think it's a blessing. I think, you know, you work so hard to get to a place like this, and there's so much more to go, but, you know, it's all a blessing, and truly an honor, surely, to be here at this campus, and just to be running a campaign, Hungry for Heisman, is pretty cool, just to sit back and watch.
You weren't blown away by that?
No, I really was. It's a little crazy when you drive and see yourself on a billboard for the first time. I'm sure you growing up as a little kid and wanted to do stuff like this, so it took me by surprise when I first saw stuff like that.
All right, let's get serious about something here. Your inner circle. I'm sure that in the last year, you have had people that have tried to get close to you that may not have had the best intentions for Brett Hundley. Have you seen that? Have you sensed that, that you've had some outside sources try to get into your inner circle?
Yeah. The one thing that I try to keep so close to is my inner circle. And, you know, I've actually learned through this through other people. I've had people become friends with my circle of people just to try to get at me. And I've had a lot of people try to come into my life just to try to be a part of it and say they're a part of my life, or they have an inside source with who I'm dealing with, who I'm talking to, and, you know, sort of what I'm about. And it's you know, I hear a lot of stuff, so it's crazy to sit back and think. And, you know, I'm glad I got my circle of people, and I trust all of them, and that's in it. But there are a lot of people that they may not even realize who are coming into their lives just trying to get closer to me.
And these are agents primarily, or business people, or people with just an interest in wanting to get a piece of you?
You know, it's everybody. I mean, people I thought was friends who tried to do stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not just, you know, these aren't just adults or agents trying to do it, because they're everywhere too. But it's even, you know, people here on campus that are trying to do stuff like that.
Have you had to kick anybody out of your inner circle? Have you had to have that hard conversation where you're like, dude, I'm about playing football, and I know I'm going to play at the next level, but you've done something or some things that just weren't right. Have you had to have that conversation?
The one thing I've been good at, I haven't had to sit down with really anybody, per se, and talk about that, but the one thing I'm real good at is, you know, letting people into my circle in the first place. I think you have to sort of understand who you're talking to and who you're dealing with, and their angle with why they're coming at you and what they're talking about and what they're about. So, you know, you have to be real secure on who you're letting into your circle and what they sort of let off, what type of vibe, what type of energy they have. Because if you let the wrong people into your circle, then, you know, it's all about who you hang around. If you hang around good people, you're going to be a good person yourself.
Are you at your class yet?
No, not yet. I'm still walking. That's why, if you tell, I'm sort of out of breath.
All right.
There's a lot of stairs up here at UCLA.
Yeah, you're not in shape, even though you're the starting quarterback. Come on, get out of here.
After the season, you know, you stop working out for a second, you lose all your conditioning pretty quick.
So, right. What did the NFL tell you when you put your name in there for them to look at you? What specifically did they tell you about your draft status?
It was anywhere from the first, which a lot of people were saying first round, all the way to even the third round in some cases. A lot of mock drafts and a lot of stuff had me going top 10, top 15, which is truly an honor. But, you know, there were some teams that had me even in third round. But there was a majority of them had me in the first round, you know, going either very early first or even late first. And then there was some going second, some going third. So it was sort of scattered.
What I had heard before the Sun Bowl was late first, second, third. And I thought after the Sun Bowl that you were going to come back and say, you know what, I got to just put my name in here and get off and running. Did you have any thought after your Sun Bowl showing that you should go?
Yeah, it crossed my mind, but that's the one reason why I had to, after the Sun Bowl, I purposely went back to Arizona. I sort of let myself relax, let everything calm down, and then I really sat down and weighed out the positives and negatives of the situation and made my decision from there. I mean, after a high like that, anybody would say, you know, go to the league, you're ready. You're ready to do all this. You're ready to leave college behind. You're ready to, you know, if you have to, just come back after you're done with football and get your degree. But you really got to sit down and think and not base your decision off of just emotion at the moment.
Did you lean on any UCLA past quarterbacks or past NFL quarterbacks for your decision?
No, I didn't really talk to any specific quarterbacks. But the ones I did, the person I did talk to mainly was Jonathan Franklin, UCLA running back, Green Bay running back now. And that's really the one person that I talked to heavily on about this decision and sort of where to go with it.
What did you need to hear from him? Because I know last year you mentioned his name, too, that you really felt good about him. What did he need to tell you?
He spoke the truth. I mean, you know, a lot of people you talk to will have different angles on what they're telling you, but he's one of the people in my inner circle, and he sort of knew what he was talking about. He said, don't really rush. There's no need to rush through what you have now. I mean, what is for you is for you. So, you know, the NFL will always be there, but you only get one opportunity to experience college. You only get one opportunity to have fun here and have, you know, be stress-free. When you get to the next level, it's a little different just because of the fact that, you know, you're playing for your life. You're playing for your family now. If once you're done there, you're done. Like, it's not going back to college and playing football. You can't do any of that. So he's just pretty much said, enjoy it while you can.
UCLA quarterback Brett Hundley, Chandler High star, on his way to class. You there yet? You sound like you're still out of breath. You sound like you're completely out of shape, like you've just been doing the food circuit.
I just walked Jan's steps right now, and those are no joke. I'll show you when you're talking on the phone. Those are no joke. I'm almost at class, though. But those steps, that's what got me out of breath. That's what got me.
Well, just cut me off when you have to. I have a couple other questions to give you a hard time about. Are you still a one cell phone guy, or have things gotten so big you're a two and three phone guy?
I'm still a one cell phone guy, but the cell phone number is about to change just because there's so many people, you know. I don't know how people give a number, to be honest, but people will get it, and then they'll start texting you and calling. And I mean, at the end of the day, your phone, I mean, throughout this decision, my phone was not, I mean, I'd have to put it on silence most of the nights just because of how many people would call and text and stuff like that.
I saw you at the national title game do some stuff. And the media thing, you and I have talked about this through the years, it's there for you when you're done playing. I think there's some other things for you there as well, but it seems to me that you're just really comfortable now in Los Angeles, where talking with you a year ago, 2 years ago, you're really uncertain about this whole thing, and now that you're embracing it, yeah, you've had success on the field. Yeah, there's people that want to have a piece of you, but for you, it seems like you're in a good spot.
Yeah, and you know, I feel comfortable talking now. I mean, I remember last year talking to you about stuff, and you know, it was a lot of ums, a lot of ands, and stuff like that, there it goes now. Still learning in the game, but there's a lot that I've progressed in, and I think being in L.A., you have to learn how to do things and handle yourself properly and how to speak to people, and it really teaches you a lot.
Well, I'll let you go off this. Mechanically, I think you've got to learn to get down when you see RG3 getting hammered at the next level. Would you agree with me on that, or is there something else you need to learn?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I think one thing at the next level, you're not proving yourself to be tough to anybody. I think once you get up there, it's all about preserving your body and just making sure you last throughout the season.
I'll see you soon, maybe even tonight. Stay well.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thank you for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Anytime, nice Brett. You got you. That. I'm always here. Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley, UCLA quarterback, Chandler High star for a couple of minutes. On the other side, so ASU has no excuse to start out the football season next year undefeated in their first three games. U of A in the same boat. I've got their schedules to go through. And some other things that are on my mind today. Very busy sports today. And here in Los Angeles tonight, it's number one Arizona against UCLA. Cats haven't won in LA since 2010. Huge build up to this. And we're looking forward to that. ASU USC out here as well. Stay with us. Brad Sussmat on the road, sports360az.com. As we continue to grow and do what we do and do it well in Los Angeles, I don't see anybody else out here doing it. Tonight, you've got number one U of A and UCLA, the big story in Arizona. And, of course, ASU is going to be hiring their athletic director later today. That is big news as well. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. You know, you get out on the road and you drive your vehicle and you drive back and forth. Could be from Phoenix down to Tucson next week. Eric and I are going to make that trip with the ASU U of A basketball game. We'll be doing the show down in Tucson next week. Could be out to Los Angeles. Could be anywhere that you're going. And are you in the vehicle that you're comfortable with? Even going around just in your daily travels, whether it's 5 miles to work and back or not, or to the weekend up to the snow or up to the high country. You know, we're sitting here in the middle of January. There's going to be a few more storms that roll on through. You're going to want to drive up to the White Mountains. You're going to want to head over to the Sunrise Ski Resort. And you're going to want to do it in a truck. That makes a lot of sense for you. Santan Ford. Santan Ford is the place to do that. Wide variety, wide selection of trucks and good people. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, big sports supporters, big sports fans. More importantly, they're big in getting you into that vehicle that makes sense, not just the first time, but the second, the third, the fourth time. That's the thing. When I'm there on the dealership, it's not about just day one. It's about day five and six of buying vehicles for the family. They're very big into that, very family friendly. It's at Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Tonight, Arizona State playing USC out here. Here is Jahi Carson. Jahi Carson trying to get on track. I don't think Jahi has had the greatest of seasons to this point. He's played well. I watched Aaron Kraft the other night. I've seen Marcus Smart at Oklahoma State. I think T.J. McConnell's been terrific for the U of A. Jahi has had, I think, a good season. This is a spot here, these next two games in Los Angeles. There'll be NBA people at USC and over at the UCLA game on Sunday. Transition defense will be the key in Los Angeles, according to Jahi.
Yeah, definitely, especially with a team like USC who has athletic guys and fast guys who like to push and go in transition. We've definitely been having to sit down, focus, and really get energy and effort out there to stop those guys from getting to the paint. If we don't do that, it's going to be tough for us.
Here's Herb Sendek, USC, presenting a unique challenge in tonight's game.
They're really trying to play fast. I mean, their transition game is tremendous. They're mixing their 3-2 zone with man-to-man. You know, they can really score.
We'll talk much more about this matchup with Matt Muehlbach, Pac-12 Network, U of A color analyst here in L.A. He'll be joining us in about 8-9 minutes. Eric, you're going over to the press conference, right, for the Ray Anderson, the hiring for ASU. You're going over to that?
I am. Yep. I'm curious to see what comes out of this for ASU and learn a little bit more about Ray Anderson. Cause quite frankly, I don't think many people know much about him. So,
yeah, I mean, he's... The word that I've heard is really good guy, but when you walk away from the league office as a vice president in the National Football League, that's one of those jobs you look at and say, dude, you're a VP in the NFL. But is he seeing some of the things that I've been saying, that the NFL, as big as it is, it's not as big as it. People say, well, look at the ratings. Yeah, and look at how they've struggled to sell tickets down the stretch and say, well, all the games this weekend are sold out. There's always going to be spin around the NFL. But to have a VP saying, I think being a college AD is a better gig than being a VP in the NFL. That's pretty interesting to me.
And like Chris Cartman told you earlier, Brad, some people just need a different challenge. He probably thought, you know what, maybe I've elevated myself as far as I can in the NFL. It's time to branch out and explore some different things and try out the college scene. And if he wants challenges, ASU certainly has its share of challenges, especially on the financial side, because they need to get a new stadium. And I know for Michael Crow, that is number one priority. And I'm sure they'll be working closely to try to raise the funds to get the facilities upgraded on the football side.
Did you see the schedule for ASU for football?
I did.
Came out yesterday.
I did.
Did you see it?
Yep, I did.
Have you seen how bad Utah or Weber State is to open the season?
No. I just did what every other fan does. I look at the schedule, I see when the bye weeks are, I look at the non-conference schedule, and then I go and look at the next college schedule. I try not to overanalyze too much because the season just ended and a lot can change. So, yeah, but it's definitely favorable for ASU, especially the first month of the season.
Well, they're going to play Brett Hundley and UCLA on national TV on a Thursday night on the 25th of September at Sun Devil Stadium, and they're going to be 3-0. And if they're not 3-0, there's going to be a very unhappy sportscaster named Brad Sussmat. Weber State lost 70-6 at Utah State. They lost 43-6 at McNeese State.
Eek.
They lost 42-6 to Montana. They gave up 45 at Portland. They got shut out at Cal Poly 47-0. So they're going to be 1-0. Then they play New Mexico. Bob Davies, the coach at New Mexico. Bob Davies, a nice guy, okay? But New Mexico gave up 66 to Colorado State. They had 69 put on them by Fresno State. They had 45 to finish the season by Boise. I know Boise's going to drill people, but still, New Mexico was 3-9. And I don't know who scheduled ASU to get on a plane and go to New Mexico, but it's fine. It's, you know, whoever did, it's over and done with. There's no reason that this program's got to go to Albuquerque to play a non-conference game. Then they go to Colorado the following week at Boulder. Colorado, once again, was dreadful again this past season, and I don't think they're going to be much better. So they're going to be 3-0. Then they play UCLA. They put their bye weeks in some better spots this year. I think they learned something from this last season. Hey, we might want to do a bye after our first three games. We might want to do a bye but when we get through this UCLA and USC stretch before we play Stanford. So their schedule set up, you know, the Notre Dame game's late in the year. I'm not big on that. Then you look over at U of A's schedule. So they've got UNLV, Texas, San Antonio. They've got to go to Texas, San Antonio. Again, who schedules, hey, you know what? We'll do a home and home with you. We're going to take our program to Texas, San Antonio. So they've got UNLV, Texas, San Antonio, Nevada, and Cal. They're going to be 4-0. And then they've got they have a bye week before they go to Oregon. I'm not going to go through the rest of the schedule, but I think both Arizona schools, and I'm not quite sure, I have not gotten an answer, nor have I actually sought it out. I haven't even read an answer, why neither one of the schools is playing NAU this year. I thought that was part of the deal, that every year they trade it off, if you notice that. Every year they trade off. And then there's this Alabama story that Lane Kiffin and Rick Neuheisel are lobbying to be the next offensive coordinator for Nick Saban. In a strange sort of way, who would have predicted Lane Kiffin when he was at Tennessee, and then when he went to USC, that he would end up being the guy standing alongside of Nick Saban saying, let's call this play and let's call that play. Freddie Kitchens' name of the Cardinals is mentioned there as well. That story caught my eye. There's going to be rain this weekend in the playoff games. Seattle hosting New Orleans, 100% chance of rain. In fact, I heard Pete Carroll say that he's going to actually hose the players. They're going to like wet the players down for practice because it's 100% chance of rain in that game. And 100% chance of rain in the New England game against the Colts on Saturday. Both games are going to be in the rain. I'm hopeful that it gets miserable and both games Saturday are in the snow. The Chargers game at Denver on Sunday afternoon is the one I'm all excited about. It has nothing to do with the girl that I sleep with. But it has everything to do with, I think the Chargers are going to give Denver a game. I really do. Ken Wisenhunt interviews today with the Detroit Lions, tomorrow with Tennessee, Cleveland on Saturday. Wiz right in the middle of all these coaching moves. All right, on the other side, we switch gears. Matt Muehlbach, Pac-12 Network basketball analyst, also University of Arizona Wildcat basketball analyst. He's in the way for tonight's game here in L.A. between UCLA and number one U of A. Matt Muehlbach joins me next on the road. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Back here in Los Angeles, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you and the Arizona Ford dealers. Brad Sussmat, tonight it is USC and ASU on one side of town. The other side of town is the big game, number one U of A against UCLA. Cats haven't won in L.A. since 2010 on the Bruins' home court. This is the only time they face one another, which I think is a silly rule. Here's Matt Muehlbach now, Cats color analyst. Cats great, Pac-12 Network 2, man of many talents. Matt, appreciate you coming back on the show. What do you make out of tonight's matchup?
Well, first, Brad, nice to be on again. I appreciate it. I think we were talking just last year, Sweet 16 time here in this area. So, you know, it's a great matchup always. You think about the last 20, 25 years of UCLA, Arizona. You know, and I think it was great because I think Sean Miller nailed it. A guy coming from the Big East, he said, you know, it reminded him of the great Georgetown-Syracuse rivalries, even though they weren't teams weren't the natural rivals like ASU, you know, U of A, USC, UCLA. They're really the best teams in the league rivals for years. To me, it's the greatest sort of strength against strength. You know, UCLA can score as good as anybody in the country. Arizona can defend as good as anybody in the country. So, you know, who wins that battle? And as you said, you know, with only one game between them, it's a big time game just from the standpoint of kind of a tiebreaker.
I mean, this is one of those games I'd love to see UCLA at McHale. And I don't quite get what's going on. I mean, they can explain it all they want, but the bottom line is, what is in the best interest of the Pac-12 conference? I don't think taking away a U of A-UCLA matchup at any point in time makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. No, I know. And it's sort of what football was able to get right because of the amount of games. And I guess it just, you know, it just didn't work out because again, football, because they have the South and the North, basketball, they decided not to do it that way. So I just felt there was no really other way to do it. Unfortunately, it hurts this year because of the one year you wouldn't want to have it. These are when the two teams have seemingly kind of collided, you know, both playing really well.
We're talking with Matt Muehlbach for a couple of minutes. Cats tonight, UCLA, Pauley Pavilion, number one, ESPN, and all that stuff, all the buildup and all the hype, but this team's undefeated. Are you surprised, Matt, at this point of the season that they are undefeated?
I think so. Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I'm not shocked by it, though. I mean, obviously they have. I think their 1-6, Brad, is probably the best in the country right now. I'm surprised in the sense that we knew this team would be good. I'm just not sure we knew they'd be this good defensively. But I'm interested to see on the road, you know, where does that defense stack up against one of the nation's best offensively? And especially if you think about a UCLA team that's going to come out, they're going to come out on fire and their fans are going to be nuts. I've heard it's a sellout. You know, they've had a little bit of an odd season fan wise. They just haven't been supporting them as much, but they'll be out for this one.
Right.
I'm interested to see if Arizona can score, and there's going to be times I think UCLA will score, and can Arizona kind of trade buckets with them during that period.
Let's talk about the guard situation for U of A. TJ McConnell comes in, and really to me has been the glue guy that maybe they haven't had the last couple of seasons, and yet I see Nick Johnson be the explosive player, and I look at him at the next level, and I do believe. And I'm really curious your view on this because of your career, that he can move over and be a true one in the NBA. But just the McConnell addition and the Johnson growth and maturation.
Well, I think they're the second best defensive tandem right now in the country. And, you know, you've got the kid from Ohio State and his two guards, Shannon Scott. I think those guys kind of came into the season number one. And I just think Nick and TJ defensively, people don't understand how good they are defensively. You know, TJ is terrific because he gets it and he plays hard and he's, you know, leads the team in steals. But Nick Johnson is a beast physically. I mean, he can really just sort of out-muscle guys and from his the talent and the physicality of him and the athleticism. But we had this exact conversation last night with a couple people here from L.A. You know, can Nick play in the pros? And I don't think there's any doubt he can and will. When you have someone that athletic that can guard, I think you're going to find a place in the pros. You know, I'm not sure he's even going to play the point. I mean, maybe he just comes in and, you know, to some degree, the NBA at times can be you're a big or you're a guard and, you know, take out the point or the
right.
You know, nomenclature and, you know, it's kind of like what UCLA does. UCLA has Norman Powell that play the point. He's really a three. And so their three-man, Kyle Anderson, is the one that really brings the ball up and is the point, even though he's really a three. So I think that's what's going to happen to Nick. You know, know if he'll ever be a pure point guard like a, you know, I mean, like some of the guys that you see out there in the NBA now, Chris Paul or guys like that. I don't think he has that, but I don't think it matters. I mean, I think he's just going to play a guard position, and physically he'll be able to be a good player in the NBA because of that.
Number one, U of A. UCLA, tonight here in L.A., Cats haven't won here at Pauley since 2010, Sean Miller's first season. Matt Muehlbach, Pac-12 network analyst, U of A analyst, former Cat with us for a couple of minutes. All right, so as you look at this roster, and I understand it's a different era, if these kids were to all stay in for 4 years, would they be the greatest U of A team of all time? It's a different era because we don't see Aaron Gordon a year from now, but
yeah,
from a collection of talent, Matt.
Well, you asked the question the right way, because most people have been asking, is this the greatest team? And I would say no, because basketball is probably the only sport right now where if you took the champion 25 years ago, they would beat the champion this year. And you know, I think football, this year's champion would probably run over, you know, the champion 25 years ago, and same with the other sports. But that's the question. I mean, if these guys were, you know, you think about 88, 89 when I was playing, Sean Elliott played as a senior. I mean, that's unheard of these days. And so who knows? I mean, I think the guy that the most intriguing guy to me is Rondae Hollis Jefferson, because I look at this Arizona team, I think they've got five or six pros on this team, which I'm not sure any Arizona team has ever had that many pros at one time. It's been close. There have been some teams that have been pretty close to that. The question you wonder is, does this team have a guy that would eventually be an NBA All-Star, which other Arizona teams have had? And mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, and I'm not sure that they do. I think the most natural guy, you know, you'd right off the tip of your tongue, you'd say Gordon, and there's a possibility he could be. I think the guy long-term that also could be and may end up being the best player is Rondae Hollis Jefferson. And so if you could project, you know, 3-4 years from now and you think of what Jefferson might be, what Gordon might be, then it might be, you know, you might eventually say, yeah, this could have been the best team ever, but we'll never know.
Has the conversation about can they go through the regular season undefeated started to be brought up more and more? People are fascinated by that. We don't see it happen. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. it's too hard. I mean, you saw last night, Colorado goes to Washington State, who looked, you know, miserable in McHale last week, and they win by one in overtime. And Colorado's probably the second best team in the conference right now. So it's too hard on the road. There's too many good teams. And part of it is a compliment to the conference. It doesn't take anything away from Arizona.
Right.
They're going to have a tough time winning tonight. And beyond that, there's just too many tough road games. There's too many good, deep, just too many good teams in this deep conference. And, you take a team like, I've seen Utah play a lot this year. And they lost on the road last night to Washington, but that's a good team. And you go play in Utah, and you got to do that maybe the night before, a couple nights before you play Colorado. That's a hard thing to do. And one of those teams is going to sneak up for sure. It'd be interesting to see if I was wrong, but I don't think I will be.
Well, and I think from a national standpoint, Matt, the pressure tonight really is on UCLA because – look, U of A, just by watching them, we all know they're just playing for seeding. And UCLA is in a first year under a new coach. They're averaging, 87 points per game. But from a resume standpoint, if you want to get higher seeds, you're in a great position if you're UCLA tonight. U of A can lose this game and still be a number one seed without question in my mind. And I know it's early. Yeah, it's only the 8th of January, but you have to start stacking those resume builders. And for UCLA, rather, this is a resume builder tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. You look at what UCLA did, and for those fans that aren't aware of it, they got smoked by Duke on the road. Now, it wasn't at Duke, but it was in New York. And they got smoked, not smoked, but they lost to Missouri on the road as well and kind of got bullied a little bit. I, think the big thing for UCLA, they got to show tonight that they're a tough team. You know, they got to show that they can be physical and that they can rebound. Arizona, you know, obviously hasn't lost a game. They have not lost a rebounding battle yet. And that's almost unheard of, that you don't have one game, you know, where you don't out-rebound the team. And they're just, that's how they're dominating teams defensively and rebounding. I think that's where UCLA has to prove to some people and themselves that they can show up physically and play with one of the top physical teams. So I think you're right, you know, for them, and I think it's a big game for, you think about Steve Alford at UCLA, his first year. This is his first marquee game, and I think, you know, I think he's a good coach. I really do. And I think that people have not really bought into him yet here in L.A., and so I think this is a big game for him for himself to hopefully get people to buy in.
Before I let you go, so you've seen the conference in your Pac-12 network work and just in probably watching other games. ASU out here playing USC tonight. ASU gets beat by Washington at home. Washington, we saw down in Tucson, very good team. I think there's a lot of pressure on Herb tonight and ASU to at least get one out of the way here and get it done at USC. What have you made out of those two teams so far?
You know, I haven't seen USC a lot. I've looked at all their scores, and they've had a little bit of an up and down year. Some you know, interesting wins, winning at Dayton, and they played okay. And then I saw them. I've actually seen them play a couple times on TV, and they didn't play well at all. So I don't know. I think they're still trying to figure things out. I think there's a big honeymoon period there, of course. I think ASU has some pressure on it. Like you said, they need to get a win tonight from the standpoint of, you don't want to go into UCLA looking at a potential sweep if you lose the first one. And I think ASU's got they've got a real legitimate chance to make the tournament, notwithstanding their loss to Washington. I've been really impressed with them in terms of watching them play. They shoot the three really well. They didn't shoot it well against Washington. But they've got the same kind of thing UCLA's got to do. They've got to prove that they can rebound with teams, play in conference and play physical and tough, you know, when it counts. And they've got talent. I mean, they've got real talent with, obviously we all know Jahi but I think that the transfer, Jermaine, has really played
Marshall.
Well. And Marshall has played well, the two guard from Penn State. They've got another JC guy named Shaquille McKissick that's been really, really solid for them. So they're no question in my mind a tournament team right now, but they can't afford to start getting swept in the conference because again, you look at strength of schedule things and you look at, you know, wins on the road, and they've already lost one at home, and so you've got to make sure if you're ASU that you split on the road.
Stay well. We'll see you later tonight. Thanks for the visit.
Thanks, Brad. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it.
Matt Muehlbach there, U of A Wildcat color analyst, also Pac-12 network analyst here in Los Angeles. U of A, number one in the nation against UCLA. It's a big Bill Walton doing the color tonight. Dave Pasch, the Cardinals play-by-play guy over on ESPN tonight. And then we have USC out here against ASU as well. Coverage brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you and the Arizona Ford dealers. Appreciate their support. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter, @BradSesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Plenty of content. Busy, busy sports day in Arizona. ASU hiring the new athletic director and much more. It's all over on Sports360AZ.com, Sports360AZ.com. And great to be on White Mountain Radio. Hope you're having a great Thursday.